Ministry cuts jobs and calls to boost Indigenous enrolment ahead of the Northern Territory's elections. Hello, I'm Harrison Peterson with the latest from NIRS News. 2,800 workers will be cut from Telstra by the end of the year. Here's CEO Vicky Brady.
The actions we are announcing today are difficult, but they are necessary. We need to be a more efficient and sustainable business to ensure we can keep investing at the levels required to meet the ever-increasing demand for our connectivity and services for our customers right across the country. The actions we're proposing today, along with our efforts over recent years, mean we will be able to achieve a cost reduction of $350 million by the end of financial year.
The telco says it'll be speaking to employees and unions about its plans. Still on Telstra, the Communication Workers Union has concerns for Telstra customers.
Largest telecommunications provider in the country, how can you maintain the services to your customers? I mean, how can you do that when you've just had such a major cut in your workforce? And quite rightly, as you pointed out, highly technical, skilled individuals that are specialists in their field, appalling decision.
That was James Perkins speaking to the ABC. The Northern Territory Electoral Commission is working to boost enrolment numbers and participation in remote communities ahead of the election in August.
It's extremely important to empower people about the Australian democracy and being a part of it, and explaining about how their vote counts and why they need to vote.
That's Neville Khan, Senior Engagement Officer from the NT Electoral Commission, speaking to SBS. The NT has the second lowest rate of Indigenous electoral enrolment, with 87% of First Nations people enrolled to vote. There'll be more after this.
You know, the flu can be passed around as easily as a footy can. But unlike a footy, when the flu's passed around, it can make some of us mob very sick and be really dangerous for everyone in our communities. That's why it's good for all us mob to get protected with a free flu vaccination. Talk to your health worker about getting vaccinated today or visit health.gov.au/flu. And let's give flu the boot. Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
Program sponsor.
A human rights legal expert says with the current level of funding, closing violence against Indigenous women and children gap won't be closed. Target 13 of the National Agreement on Closing the Gap aims to reduce the rate of violence Indigenous women and children face by at least 50% by 2031. Noongar woman Hannah McGlade has told the ABC that many family and domestic violence support services were disappointed by last week's federal budget.
We need the states to lift their game. We need to see increased funding investment from the Commonwealth. I don't believe Aboriginal organisations, frontline organisations, are impressed with the latest budget announcement. We know that mainstream non-Indigenous women's organisations equally have been very disappointed. Our frontline services are integral to responses against violence. And while they've seen some parity in terms of salary wages, they haven't seen the kind of security and investment that they need. And Indigenous women's services are also turning away many women who are needing urgent help to escape violence.
A new report revealed Indigenous children were heavily targeted with COVID fines during the pandemic. Stephen Clark has more.
Advocates want immediate reform of the New South Wales fine system, with a new report finding a heavy-handed approach to public health rules during the pandemic saw more than 3,500 children fined. The report, commissioned by a number of Indigenous legal services and prepared by academics from three New South Wales universities, shows fines were disproportionately handed out to marginalised groups. These include Indigenous children, children with cognitive impairments, and children experiencing socioeconomic challenges, homelessness, or unsafe home environments. More than half of the 3,600 fines issued were more than $1,000, with some as high as $5,000. Advocates say the findings show a need for an urgent rethink of the fine system in New South Wales.
And that is the latest from NIRS News. You can now catch our latest bulletin on the Community Radio Plus app.
The National Indigenous Radio Service, the voices of our people.
For our children, we all walk together. To keep our children safe, strong, and connected to culture. Community organisations you trust are here to walk with you and can provide family wellbeing services for families and children of all ages. To find free and confidential support near you, search Family Wellbeing Services. Because when it comes to our children, we all walk together. Authorised by the Queensland Government, Brisbane.
Station sponsor.
Which Way Gambling? Big issue for us? When gambling takes over, it can affect all of your life. We may not know when we have crossed the line. We are a people that are strong in culture and family. Together we can take back our power over gambling and strengthen our spirit. Search Gambling Help Queensland or give them a call on 1800 858 858 for tips and ideas about how to manage gambling. It's free and you can remain anonymous. Hear you, mob. Be brave and let's start yarning about gambling.
Authorised by the Queensland Government, Brisbane. Station sponsor.
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumper Bip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. And a big shout out to the NERS team, too deadly. All right, it is National Volunteer Week. And as you're well aware, we've been doing yarns with different volunteers from different industries and different backgrounds. And as I've always said, that volunteers move this state, if not this country. It is a team effort, and we do take our hats off to all volunteers. And with that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Mara Basanovic, who's the CEO of Volunteer in Queensland, and online. Mara, good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Trevor, and good morning to you and all your listeners, and particularly to the volunteers.
Yes, to the volunteers. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So you are the CEO of Volunteer in Queensland. As I just mentioned, hats off to all volunteers in the state and the country and the work that they do, and to look after this beautiful island of ours, the big island, Australia. It is a team effort, and so very important, volunteers, yes?
Yeah, indeed. They are really, really important, and they deliver a whole lot of critical services as well as, you know, other social things like being friends with people and just, you know, supporting people who might be lonely or, you know, working with troubled young people or celebrating, you know, the good things that they do. We work across the state with many, many groups of volunteers, so it's lovely to hear that you've got a strong volunteer cohort.
Yeah, we do. And like I said, the work that they do, hands on deck, it just keeps the vehicle driving in the right direction. It is a powerful team effort. And how long have you been the CEO of Volunteer in Queensland, Mara?
I've been CEO for 8.5 years, and I'm just about to retire.
Really?
I'll be handing it over to a wonderful person. Yeah, but it's been a real privilege because I've been able to travel the length and breadth of not only Queensland but other states and territories. And prior to volunteering Queensland, I was the CEO of Volunteering WA. So okay. I've watched volunteering at two extreme ends of Australia.
Yes, yes. And look, hats off to you. Now, look, pardon my ignorance, but CEO of Volunteering, the state Queensland, is that a paid position?
Yes, it is.
It is.
So
yes.
We're the peak body of volunteering.
Okay.
So what we do is, we're funded by government, and also we do fee-for-service, and we're funded by some private industry to do to actually capacity build organisations such as yourself, volunteer-involving organisations, to actually have the best volunteer programme that they can, and also to recruit the volunteers that they need to recruit. We also have a matching service, so volunteers can, prospective volunteers can just be at home on a Sunday looking, at the at their laptop or something and go, you know what, I wouldn't mind trying volunteering at the local community centre or something. So they can go on and kind of match themselves to a role. But most of our work is actually not only in disasters and volunteering in disasters, but actually supporting the thousands of volunteer-involving organisations across Queensland. And I'm not sure if you know, but we've just done a report into some research into the state of volunteering in Queensland. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the sad news is that volunteering has fallen by about 10% in the last 10 years. So we've all got our work cut out for ourselves to make sure that our programs are very welcoming and protective and of volunteers, and also they provide the right protections, but also enable volunteers to really give of their full.
Yeah. So, Mara, CEO of Volunteering Queensland, Volunteering Queensland, you guys would receive applications for people to become volunteers in all the industries and all different areas. Is that the case?
Not so much. We don't receive applications for volunteers. So on our website, if somebody wants to go in and say, oh, I'd like to volunteer for animals, then we get organisations to help. We help organisations to draft their volunteering positions and understand the volunteering role. And then we post those on our website and people can go and look for themselves.
Okay.
So what happens in volunteering is most people volunteer by word of mouth or because their friends or family do that.
Approach that way, exactly.
Yeah. And about 95% of volunteering actually happens online.
Okay.
So people just get on their tablet or their mobile phone or something and they look to see what they might like to do.
Okay.
And the other one is, of course, locally, people just see a need or...
Word of mouth, see a need, that's right, yes. And put their hands up. Mm, yeah.
That's right.
What about people on the other side of the coin who run an organisation or run a business or non-profit? Do they approach you guys in regard to, hey, we're looking for volunteers?
They do. Yes. They do. And we run training courses. We run... we have many free resources on our website. And we try and reach out to all of them to help them to look at best practice volunteer management through the National Standards for Volunteer Involvement.
Yeah.
And so we work with them. We can work one-on-one or we can work, you know, network them with other peers and other people who are doing it well if people are experiencing difficulties. But we really encourage volunteer-involving organisations to please contact us if they have any, you know, challenges or even if they have wonderful stories to celebrate.
Exactly.
Because that's what, you know, National Volunteer Week is about. It's about encouraging more people to volunteer, but it's also about spreading the beautiful messages of people who volunteer and who, you know, feel that volunteering has really enhanced their life.
Yes. And it does. And then we're talking about the networking. Then we're talking about the friends that to be had, but also picking up skills as well. So when you say that there is reciprocation in a way, isn't there?
Oh, yes, indeed. And it's a, you know, it's a three-way reciprocation because I haven't met one volunteer who hasn't said to me, I get more than I give.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful sentence. Beautiful. I love that one.
Yeah, I love
but what's
that.
Really interesting is so they win. And then the person receiving the services, or if it could be an environment too, it could be a park or something.
Mm.
So that's a win for them, but also the volunteer-involving organisation that engages the volunteer to deliver services, they win as well. So everybody, it is very much a reciprocal process.
Yes, fantastic. Now, hats off to all volunteers across this country and not only Queensland. We're talking about a National Volunteer Week, and that's what's happening 26th of May. I want to thank you, Mara, for the work that you've done, about to step into retirement and hand over the reins. But thank you for everything that you've done. And, look, congratulations. And you would say that volunteering in Queensland is going to be in good hands with the next CEO, yes?
Yeah, it will indeed. But Trevor, could I just please thank from the bottom of my heart all the volunteers in, you know, right across Australia who step forward and just lend a helping hand to somebody in need or to make our environment a better place for us to live.
Yeah.
Volunteers contribute so much and they really are often hidden in plain sight.
Yes.
They're not thanked enough. So
thank
you and enjoy National Volunteer Week. And the theme of National Volunteer Week is something for everyone.
Something
and volunteering truly is and has something for everyone. And if anybody needs any support, give us a call or go onto our website.
Lovely, beautiful words. Mara, thank you so very much. Enjoy retirement, my sister, and good yarning with you. You keep smiling, you take care, and we'll yarn soon.
Yeah, thank you, Trevor.
Bye, Mara.
Bye.
A beautiful yarn there. Mara Basanovic is her name, the CEO of Volunteer in Queensland, about to step into retirement. Been doing the job for a long while now, about to hand over the reins. But it is National Volunteer Week, and hats off to all volunteers across this country, and not only the state of Queensland, but it is fantastic and a team effort. And the theme this year is something for everyone. And for those of you who want to be a volunteer, no matter what industry or what field or what organisation, you can contact Volunteer in Queensland and put in applications. So there it is. And big shout out, Mara. Thank you very much. Your daily program, National Talk Black, to the conversation here. And a big shout out to all First Nation radio stations across this deadly country of ours, a Deadly Black Network. And a big shout out to NERS, National News Radio Service, too deadly.
If only you could see what this told me.
Let's talk about
Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter. Brother Walker.
If only you could see what you're doing
to me. I stand with you in the room.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah. We hit the streets, begging for the people to see what our life worth, but they don't want to believe. Claiming all lives matter, but you ain't the rally. I stand on the shoulders of the fan that come before me just the same as you, fan. So what you doing with the fact that you inherited this inheritance? Took the privilege, y'all took the wealth, took the lives of innocent boys and girls, still denying our experience, made to feel lesser. I work with these kids and they telling me they fed up. I'm working with these white folk who know enough and better. I'm working with the government, another pet nigga. New day seems nothing changed, we afraid. We glorifying mediocrity up to this day. Let's be real about it, and maybe then we can transform this country, heal the pain for my great-grandmama, for my nana, for my cousins, for my sisters and my mama, for our brothers up in lockup, for these white folk who sick and confused, and for these pleas who sick enough to treat us the way that they do, for these politicians who forgot about what it means to operate from a place of humanity. Look, forget the pride and self-righteousness. This is gonna take a whole lot more than your good intent. Come on, let's go.
If only you could see what this all means. Black Lives Matter. If only you could see what you're doing to me.
Let's talk about it. Look, we sacrifice another black voice. Why? Just to prove another white point. Right. I will stand for the justice. I'll tell you what the problem. This is not a problem. This is catastrophic. Mama didn't raise me. Typical complacent. Now she showed me love in her heart. It's so amazing. So I'ma push it forward. Praying for the fallen. Dreaming of the day we can look it in the face and that walk on by. For the lies that they preach us. The violence. Silent agreements. The pride and deceit. Our willingness to believe for the nightmare. That this time dear to
yeah, Black Lives Matter. This Jim Blair here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say yarn up strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry. Coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bama Rip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn up strong, you mob. Now, Australians reluctant to participate in clinical trials, hindering access to life-saving treatments. Look, with that, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Charlotte Bradshaw, CEO and founder of Everima Technologies. And got Charlotte online. Charlotte, good morning.
Hi, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. Where are you based, Charlotte?
I'm based in Sydney.
Sydney, lovely. Okay, I'm in Cairns, far north Queensland, hillbilly up north. Thank you for coming to the program. So we're talking to Australians reluctant to participate in clinical trials, hindering access to life-saving treatments. So shed some light on this in regards to participation in clinical trials, please.
Yeah, so what we're seeing is any new medicine that needs to be available to people on the market needs to be proven that it's safe and effective. And to do this, clinical research needs to happen. But in order to get those clinical trials done, we need participants. And sometimes this can actually benefit people that do participate in research. So we're increasing awareness and we're hoping that we see more people get involved in their local community in clinical trial opportunities.
So you're talking like a sort of case of guinea pigs, you could say.
I definitely hear that phrase a lot. I don't think we want to consider ourselves guinea pigs, but yes, in a little way.
In a way. So we need, we need human beings to to test the medicine, so to speak, and then research. You look at the human beings, the people taking the medicines, and look at the effects thereafter, if there is any, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, so a lot of the research can be done comparing a new treatment or a reformulated treatment to something that's already available on the market.
Mm-hmm.
So oftentimes people want to consider doing this to help advance medical research and get those treatments available to those who need them. But every trial is different, and
sure.
It doesn't mean that you have to be sick or in a hospital. It might be everyday folk like you or I.
Mm-hmm.
It could be something like pain, chronic pain, or difficulty sleeping, or shingles, dry eye. We've seen lots of different types of research happening.
Okay. Charlotte, this has always been around, that we've always used people to put their hand up, so to speak, have we?
Yeah, that's right. In fact, because it was clinical trials day on Monday the 20th, the reason that we celebrate this is the first trial was way back in the 1700s on a ship where it was tested between oranges and people that took oranges or ate oranges versus people that didn't.
Yeah.
And they were experimenting to see the impact of scurvy on people. That was really the first clinical trial that happened.
And it's with us today, 2024.
Yeah, exactly right.
Well, it's fantastic. So do people apply to be, a person to be involved? Or how does it all work?
Yeah, that's a good question. So what we're seeing is people can go to their GP or their local pharmacist to talk about clinical trials as a care option for
them. Clinical trials, yep.
They can also head to our website, which is avrema.com.au, and we list all of the different clinical trials that are happening right across the country there.
Mm-hmm.
But we encourage people to talk with their GP because we know that that's where, from the research, that's where people expect to hear about research from their trusted healthcare providers.
And when we're talking clinical trials, are we talking medication, taking it orally, is that right?
It can be all sorts of different things.
Okay.
It might be a medication or a foam patch or a capsule. It could even be a device.
Okay.
In fact, we're seeing a lot of digital health research at the moment, so testing an app for your health.
All right, so we are low in numbers in regarding people putting the hand up for clinical trials. So our conversation here, well, people, step forth is what you're saying.
Yeah, definitely have that conversation with friends, family, jump on the website, talk to your GP or your pharmacist. It's just like we consider donating blood.
Yes.
You know, everyone knows why it's important, where to
go,
and we're trying to educate and raise awareness about clinical research too.
Lovely, fantastic. Now, quickly tell us about Avrema Technologies. You're the CEO and founder. What do you guys do there?
Yeah, that's right. So at Avrema, we match patients to different clinical trials right across the country.
Mm.
We have over 100,000 people that have registered their interest to learn about trials. So we know that it's important and that it matters to people in all sorts of communities.
Mm-hmm.
We have also built software to help GPs understand and raise awareness for them about trials that might be suitable for their patients.
Fantastic.
And then just recently, we partnered in the pharmacy space. So people can go into their pharmacy and talk to their local pharmacist about trials too.
Fantastic. And how long has Avrema Technology been operating for, Charlotte?
We have been around for 5 years, going really strong.
Good.
And hopefully we'll see up to 5 million people as part
That's
of our community by the end of the year.
End of the year, 5 million. Fantastic. Hey, great yarning with you. Thank you very much for sharing. Charlotte, all the best and we'll yarn soon.
Thanks so much for having me, Trevor.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
A deadly yarn there. Charlotte Bradshaw, her name is CEO and founder of Avrema Technologies. So Australians reluctant to participate in clinical trials, hindering access to life-saving treatments. Look, clinical trials play a pivotal role in the healthcare industry, driving forward the development and production of new healthcare solutions by proving the efficacy and safety of new treatments and therapies. However, despite the crucial role of clinical trials, new research reveals a concerning lack of participation amongst Australians, with a mere 1 in 6, 16%, having previously engaged in a clinical trial. So do check it out. You can check out the company, all the W's.Avrema.com. That's E-V-R-I-M-A, Avrema.com. Do check it out and, become a guinea pig, so to speak, as we yarn with Charlotte Bradshaw. Have you say yarn up strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416.
Help. It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran!
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Brothers,
RK,
RK.
Welcome on, this King Stingray here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, yarn up strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, yarn is yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trevor Murray from the Curry. Can be live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and New Dingy Country. As BBM and Bumba Bear Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. All right, after a beautiful, deadly, successful weekend down in Brisbane for the NRL Magic. Fantastic, and congratulations to NRL and Brisbane, the city of Brisbane, and of course Suncorp Stadium. Fantastic, but we're coming to the Indigenous Round jerseys. Every NRL club's Indigenous Round jersey from 2017-2024 in the NRL's ninth instalment of Indigenous Round. And they look back at all the jerseys that have been uniquely designed and celebrated by Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander players who have electrified rugby league. Indigenous Round is a chance to remember the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander players who have blessed rugby league with skill, elegance and toughness for more than 100 years. From Lionel Morgan and Artie Beetson to Latrell Mitchell and Josh Adokar, Indigenous players are central to rugby league's story in Australia. And the fantastic round coming up here very soon. So do check out the jerseys and start purchasing them and support our artists as well who are at the table, our First Nation artists who design the jerseys for all the different clubs. And it's great to see. Have you seen Yana Strong, your mob? Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.
Baby girl, it gon' be fine. Working all out in my mind. All we have to do is be kind. Hold hands, be friends, be gentlemen and girlfriend. Honey, I really don't care what you mean, making me cool to a fact, cool to a T. Just me and you, you and me, we forever be, baby. You saw it, that is just always in my nerve. And baby girl, you can feel it, cause you know that love is pain.
To say to you, see when I'm
with you, rubbing you, I'm kissing your lips. All of the sudden, your body yearning bad for the uplift, protecting you, pussycat, like a precious gift. Hold you next to me, telling you I love you since the first kiss.
Yeah, love is going to come my way. That's Drews Namok with us in Spirit Brother Jews. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong. Daily number here, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry, live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and New Dingy Country, BBM Bummer Bib Media, 98.7 FM, and across the nation, thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. All right, a new book is out, Because I Love Him, a new book, an unflinching personal account of domestic violence. A tireless anti-violence advocate has penned a memoir called Because I Love Him, about her harrowing personal journey from domestic violence to empowerment. We're talking about Ashley Donoghue, and she also delivered a speech at the United Nations Commission on the Status of Women Forums in New York. So domestic violence should no longer be a taboo subject. And we do have Ashley on the line. Ashley, good morning, sister. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for coming to the program. Before we start, sister, let the mob know who your mob were you from.
Well, I'm a proud Dungari woman, born and raised in Kempsey on the mid-north coast of New South Wales.
Mm.
But I've also got connections to Queensland.
Oh.
My grandfather was Paddy Jerome.
Okay.
The grandson of Jerry Jerome.
Okay, beautiful. Connection up here, Queensland as well. Lovely to see. Listen,
I visited Woodridge many times when I was growing up.
Yes. Fantastic. And look, thank you for coming to the program. So you are now author, Because I Love Him. Look, you're a tireless anti-violence advocate, and Because I Love Him about is the book, and talking about domestic violence and your journey. So using the book as a vehicle to educate, to promote and stamp out domestic violence, that's what it's all about, isn't it, Ashley?
It is. That's exactly what it's about. And the more people that tell their stories or you know, only if they feel safely to do so, of course,
yes.
You know, the less it gets, you know, that shame factor is removed a bit, because, you know, no one wants to admit that they're in domestic violence, and there's a real lot of shame that goes with being in a DV relationship.
Sure. Well, exactly. And speaking of, so this book becomes a tool in supporting our women who are in that situation, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it just is an example. Like, you know, there's many different aspects to DV and to my story anyway. You know, I only speak on what I've experienced. But in this book, there's, you know, I've been a jail wife, but I've never been incarcerated, but I know what it feels like to support a man who's hurt you in jail, and also know what it's like to have a son who was put in jail at a very young age. But I don't speak on being incarcerated because I haven't been incarcerated.
Sure, yeah.
There's drug talking, there's talking about drugs because the father of my kids turned to heavy drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I can talk about how that made me feel, but I can't talk about taking drugs because I don't know what that feels like.
Sure.
But I can certainly talk about what it feels like to be, you know, physically, mentally and emotionally abused and assaulted by a man who you love. And it's an awful feeling. And the book just is a journey of my whole experience in life with domestic violence.
And when you look at the title here, Ashley, Because I Love Him, our sisters out there, well, all women, they're in a situation where, well, that's why they got with the man. There was something beautiful about the man. And because of situation, whether it be job or control or jealousy or what have you, they turn violent. But that love is still there somewhere, isn't it?
Well, that's the thing, you know. People, the narrative today is, you know, just leave, you know, which is the worst thing you can say to any woman. But even when you do leave, you can leave, but you can't. You don't just automatically stop loving someone.
Sure.
You can't. It's not just a switch that you switch off.
Mm.
And that's what's missing in this dialogue at the moment. You know, people are talking about domestic violence, the majority of it, you know, all the rules and regulations are being seen through a white lens, and that white lens doesn't see Aboriginal women. And that's an issue.
Of course it's an issue. And then I'm just thinking as well, when there's kids involved, well, there's always a connection. You know, the bloodline
right.
Or what have you, and then you've got to balance it up because your kids need to see their father and be with their father. But it just makes it hard, doesn't it?
is. It's a very, very difficult situation. But I've got a really strong stance in domestic violence. Mm. If a woman has children and she's in domestic violence, and those children are in domestic violence too.
Because,
you know, you don't have to see the violence to be affected by it. You can hear it. You can see mum busted up afterwards.
Yes.
You can feel the energy, you know, after an assault or if mum's kicked dad out or if mum's had to run or all those things. That's very, as a child, that's extremely damaging. And,
exactly.
You know, I speak again on my own experience because my son was affected the most out of my choices and it's a guilt I carry today.
Yeah. And the thing is like even if there's no physical violence towards the children, they are scarred in a way, aren't they, Ashley?
Absolutely, they're scarred. Nobody wants to see their mum being bashed.
No.
Nobody wants to see mum and dad being bashed. Mm. And a lot of children that are hurt and killed during domestic violence incidences are children that stand in the middle of mum and dad.
Mm-hmm. So we talk about your book, Because I Love Him. That's out now, is it? People can purchase it?
It is. You can purchase it in all good bookstores or you can go to Mugabala Books, who are the publishers of it.
Okay.
And you can buy it online there.
And you're telling your story, your experiences in regarding domestic violence, sister. Yep.
Yep. I'm telling, you know, from the start to the end of it and all the bits in between.
Yep. No,
I've got no secrets. Let's just say that.
All cards on the table, sister.
It's out there.
Which is deadly, and I congratulate you, and there's a lot of courage to do that. But you're doing it not for finance gain or fame. It's to help all women out there in this situation. And domestic violence has got to stop, Ashley.
It absolutely does. Look, let me tell you this. There's no money in domestic violence. Writing this book was really about getting it out of my head.
Yep.
And it was really a healing, part of my healing for myself. And so I just want women to know that when you're in these situations, you're not alone.
Yes,
you know, there's other women. It's a very isolated thing to be in domestic violence.
Mm.
And we need to start talking. And we know it's not isolated because the majority of us have seen it in some form or another.
Sure.
You know,
exactly.
Very few people get through life without being impacted by violence or trauma.
Mm.
And it's just me telling my story so that other women can know that, or, you know, even resonate with it a little bit and know that they too can get through the darkness and into the light and live a really full, healthy, happy life free from violence.
Well, so true, Ashley. Look, we've lost a lot of women and children along the way. Love, thoughts, prayers are going out to families who are in that situation, but to all our beautiful women out there, look, reach out. And thank you for sharing. Because I Love Him, the book is out now. Ashley, you're too deadly. You stay strong, sister, and we'll yarn soon, eh?
Okay, thank you so much for having me on.
Take care, bub. Bye-bye.
You too, bye.
Deadly yarn there. Ashley Donahue, her name is, author of Because I Love Him. So that book is out now, so do check it out. It's a new book, Unflinching Personal Account of Domestic Violence. And we need to stamp it out. And I say to my brothers out there, you need to be a true warrior of the 21st century. And when you look at domestic violence, that's not in our culture. So there it is, you mob. Stay strong. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Trinity Trevor will sign off now for today's program. I thank you for your company, you mob. A one-hour program here at Bummer Bipper Media, BBM 98.7 FM. And thank you to NERS, National Radio Service, that takes us across the country. A daily one-hour program. And I'm your host, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow. And that daily number, 1-800-422-416.
You're always speaking, but I never hear what you say. Can you replay it?
I'm in my feelings. Am I miscommunicating? I hate this.
Let's talk about love. Let's talk about life. Talk about change. Translating.
talk about life, let's talk about change, let's talk about us. Let's talk about fights, let's talk about things that nobody does. Let's talk about love.
You go, you go.
Let's talk
about
fishermen in their boats, finally the fish catch. Simple life.